Let's see it.
Welcome to the Uncle Hack Podcast, where dudes pretty much just talk dude shit.
Welcome to another episode of the Uncle Hack Podcast. We are back after a hot weekend at the Edmonton Comic Strip. We'll get into that. Future dates coming up this weekend, December 17th. We are in Cranbrook, BC. December 31st, we are in Banff, Alberta for the New Year's Eve extravaganza. New Year's Day in Calgary for another Danger Room at the Comedy Cave, January 1st. January 13th, just added Peace River, Alberta. January 20th at Yuck Yucks in Calgary. Roast Battles return. That's right, January 20th. I put that title right there behind me. If you're watching this on YouTube, if not, yes, the strap. You know what the strap is. I put it on the line against Charles Haycock, January 20th at Yuck Yucks in Calgary, Alberta. January 21st, we are in Rocky Mountain House. January 28th, we are in Camrose. And then February 2nd, we are in Kindersley, Saskatchewan. February 3rd, Provost, Alberta. February 4th, Hannah, Alberta. February 10th, Drumheller, Alberta. And February 17th, in the Grand Forks, British Columbia. All dates are on DangerCatShop.com for tickets. That's right. A long list of fucking shows. Just came off a hot one this weekend, I may add. What a weekend I had. What a weekend. It started out great. I'm the gambling god right now. I am the gambling god. I'm 6 for 6 on Oiler bets. And just, you know, riding a goddamn high. Saturday or Friday night, we fucking smacked a little payout off the Oilers game. I know nobody gives a shit about that, but it's all about making money on this podcast because I'm slowly turning into one of those like influencer entrepreneurs. What you need to do, you need to gamble, fuck, get pussy, drink a lot. You got to go through a little bit of a, you know, like hazing phase on yourself. You got to go out and you got to punish your body, your mind, your soul, be to the point where you're like just looking around in the depths of hell and nobody's around you. You got to destroy yourself to build yourself back up, right? And that's what I've done. I've replaced cocaine and alcohol abuse with a crippling gambling addiction on inside casinos, inside, you know, it is detrimental to my financial success. That's what keeps me humble. That's what keeps me on a level playing field with the rest of the human beings that walk this earth. I can't allow myself or my ego to get too inflated with an attitude like that or the self-destructive behavior that I put on myself, that I do to myself. I don't allow anybody to influence me. I just go out and do it. Destroy my mind, body, soul, sexually, financially, and every now and then I like to fall off the wagon, hit the sauce a little heavy. That's right. So Friday, I smack some bets. Things are looking up. Things are looking great. The boys are up here already. We had Forte and Walker staying with me for the weekend. What a treat. It's always a pleasure to have those two fucking dipshits around for more than a day, more than 24 hours. It's always entertaining. It's soothing to have your friends around, you know, especially in the holiday season. A lot of us feel lonely. A lot of us feel like, you know, we're trying to build a case for maids. So you go in and you tell the maids officer, like, listen, I'm feeling a little unhappy. I'm thinking about putting a gun in my mouth. And then the maids guy is like, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't you put the gun in your mouth. Let us do it. Let us do it. Because we're greedy. We want to strip you of everything. Even like the dignity of taking your own life. We don't want you to do that. We want to do that. The government. Allow us to kill you. And we'll call it it's assisted suicide, but it's still a suicide. It's not murder. It's assisted suicide. Okay? We can legally kill you. And all your problems go away. Not me. I'm the exact opposite. I like to create problems, okay? I like to be the problem. I like to be my own problem. Gambling, making. Actually, I was up on the weekend, so I was quite happy. There was no call to the medically assisted suicide doctor this weekend. But I almost fucking 7 years in this game. Seven, five, whatever it is. Who cares, right? However many years I've been in the game of internet content, bullshit, being a moron, making fun of shit, talking shit, doing it in the bigs, right? All this time, you know, I've always said there's only been like two encounters of dickheads, right? Well, finally, somebody has taken a step to the plate and told me to go fuck myself to my face. I'm out here just trying to enjoy my night on a Friday, right? I'm out here, I'm out playing some slots, I'm up on the day. And finally, this gentleman walks up and he goes, "Hey, I seen your TikTok." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, that's great. That's, I don't like grown men talking with one another about TikToks, you know, that's unsettling to me. That's already an issue right out of the gate." And this gentleman has, he goes, "Yeah, I seen it." I'm like, "Oh, okay, did you like it?" And then like, I don't know, he got weird. I think he was hammered. He had to have been hammered because it was like a weird interaction. You know, when you're drunk and your brain can't, it's not firing at the capacity that it wants to. And I don't think that this guy was smart to begin with. So it was painful. And then he says, "Yeah, you remember that video about the golf?" And I'm like, "No, I fucking don't. Did I post something about you? Or are you mad? What is going on here?" And then he proceeds to tell me nothing about what he's mad about, but everything, why he's mad, what he's going to do while he's mad. He's like, I don't play like that. I don't play like that. And I'm still confused on the video that he's talking about. I didn't realize which one he was talking about until about 3 hours later. Because either his girlfriend or sister leaked the information. But it was hilarious. "I don't play like that. I'll smash you." You know, that's a clear. I like when verbiage like that comes out because it's a clear distinction of like the level of IQ that this individual operates at. You know, you remember the kids in high school, right? Even grade school, wherever. You know, the morons in the back that are stocking shelves and shit like that. They use these fear and intimidation tactics and like these words like "I will smash you" to try and belittle you right out of the gate so that they have like a little bit on you going into a possible fight, where those tactics don't really work because I've fought like guys that are trained to fight for a long time. And I'm not sitting here trying to put myself above this individual, but those words don't intimidate me because it's just like, usually with those words, the fighting style associated with it is just like try and grab on as quick as you can and throw the biggest looping right hands you could ever seen in your life. It looks like they're trying to like paint a spot on a wall that they just can't reach. You know what I mean? Like it's like over top and they're like, it's like a dunk in a way, or they're trying to like I said, paint a spot on the wall that's just out of reach. So you just overextend and then the follow through is never, you know, it's never great. One out of 35 of those punches lands and makes them look great. Right. So that as soon as you hear that, I don't play like that. I'm going to smash you. Oh, okay. Overconfident and underskilled. That's like most of people today, overconfident, underskilled, right? I feel like that's like the general public right now. And then this guy, yeah, he's like, I think once he realized the intimidation factor wasn't really working out, the drunkenness and the anger of like being hammered and then this isn't working was starting to settle in. And I still don't know what he's talking about. It was an ambush where I was confused and I didn't know. And I was like, all right. I probably looked like I bitched out in a way, but I was so confused on what he was mad about. And then finally on the drive home, it clicked. And it was, there was a golf video, I guess, of this guy. And he was like, "Guess my handicap." He says, "Guess my handicap." And then I like stitched the video, to use the correct terminology that TikTok has put up. I stitched the video. You stitched my video? Okay. That's what we're mad about in this situation. So I stitched the video and said autism. And apparently I was wrong. Apparently I was wrong about the handy. It was just, it's just flat out retarded. We're grown men out here getting mad at TikToks. That's, you know, I would be honored to see. First off, you should be honored that the roast battle champion even took a moment out of his day to acknowledge his existence on the internet. You know, when I'm in public, I'm in my own space. I'm just doing my own thing. I'm not really looking or, hey, does this guy recognize me? You know, I'm not doing that. I'm just trying to float around. Oh, what do I want? I want a roast beef sandwich right now. God, you know, and my eyes wander. Oh, that girl's tits just look phenomenal in that dress. You know? Oh, God, that is beautiful. It's just positive thoughts going through my head all day. Look at the ass on that thing. Holy shit. Boy, oh boy. You know what I really enjoy right now? An oatmeal cookie. I would like that. And that, those are my thoughts. I'm an idiot. That's what's going through my head as I'm waltzing around the earth, just existing, coexisting, I should say, with other human beings in those moments. So when I'm ambushed like that and I'm on the fucking fence, I'm like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? We didn't quite get to the point of like him telling me exactly why he was mad. I had to guess and it's, his girlfriend or sister or whatever it was piped up and said, you shouldn't make fun of autistic kids, you know? And all this time, I haven't been making fun of autistic kids, and I'm very inclusive, so now I gotta, now she put more work on my table of, like, having to write jokes about autistic kids. This is too much, you know? This is what it's like being the roast battle champion, you know? People come up, they're mad at you for even acknowledging their existence. They're fucking, listen, it's like, fucking step back, pal. Okay? Step back. You don't just get a heavyweight title fight right out of the gate, okay? You don't get that. Yeah, that's what a lot of these folks on the internet don't understand, you know? The Rock doesn't look in the into the crowd or look to the fan base to be like, hey, I want to wrestle you at WrestleMania. I want to wrestle the fat guy sitting in the front row at WrestleMania and give him the fucking show of a lifetime, you know? He doesn't do that. Stone Cold would never do that, you know? We're looking back in the Hogan era. We can go as deep as you. Even the Intercontinental Champion, Macho Man Randy Savage, wouldn't even take a fucking glance into the crowd to be like, hey, why don't me and you fucking have a little roast battle for the championship belt? You know, the fact that the champ was even looking at you online, you should feel great. You should feel honored. You should have shook my hand and said, hey, here's $1,000. Thank you for doing that. All my friends think I'm cool that I got roasted by you. You're welcome. You're welcome. But nope. Low IQ. Smooth brain over there gets all fucking uppity, you know? The roast battle champion gave him the acknowledgement. And that's, I just needed to get that off my chest early in the episode. I'm going full ego in 2024. You know, I had a phenomenal weekend. First off, let's give it up for the cats. I'm talking about you. That's right. I'm talking about you, the fine people out there that listen and watch this podcast. Yeah, came out to a show this weekend. Yeah, came out to the show this past weekend. Some of you this weekend coming up and sold out Alberta's. I would say Alberta's premier club, number one club, the Comic Strip in the West Edmonton Mall. Okay. The Comic Strip in the West Edmonton Mall. You guys out there came out, showed up, showed out, and we had a phenomenal show top to bottom. It was rocking in that fucking joint. I had a great time. The audience was there for it, and we packed the, I would say, premier club in Alberta, in my mind, home base. This is my home game, all right? I'm based out of Edmonton. It's crazy how many people don't know that by now. But we packed it. We did it. Thanks to you. Thanks to you. I was stoked all weekend. I was stoked. I'm still buzzing off that, okay? I'm talking like a home game right here. You know, we've worked our ass off in the past year. Despite the lockdowns, despite all the bullshit, we slipped through all the cracks that we possibly could to make sure that shows were still going on, breaking rules, didn't give a fuck, doing what we needed to do. And it's got us to this point, and it's all thanks to you. Thanks to the listeners. Thanks to the people that come out to shows that support what we're doing. And, you know, there for it, for us putting on these wild, you know, different It's not even a different type of comedy, just a comedy that people are somewhat craving, that guys will go up there and take risks and say wild shit and go for it. There is no line, you know? It's the only lines that exist at our shows are being chalked up in the handicap stall. That's it. You know, one guy was falling out of his chair from fucking ketamine overdose or whatever he was up to, but he was having a tough go. There was only one table that got punted. I guess I never even dropped like what we're talking about on the show today. We're going to touch on an offensive hand gesture that took place at the Cold Lake. It was a call sign that was inappropriate at the Cold Lake Air Base. In Alberta here, we had Boston Pizza have a drag hour. So we're going to talk about that. My favorite restaurant in the whole wide world. And then Toronto Life shits on Edmonton. Some stupid bitch from Toronto decided to up and move her life from Toronto to Edmonton and didn't even move to Edmonton and just sat there shitting on Edmonton in this article. So as a resident of this fine city, I love this place. I love what it's about. Some people think it's a shithole. I also agree with that, but it's my shithole. I love this place, so I have to deliver a little love back to Toronto, the metropolis of fucking retard. You know, you can't get any dumber than those. I thought the guy in the casino was a fucking idiot until I read this article. Okay, until I read this article that we're gonna go through about this woman that decided to up and leave her life because she heard it on a radio ad that Alberta is great. Yeah, that's right. So you can already tell how dumb she is by listening to radio ads. Not even satellite radio. Not even an ad on her Spotify. No, FM radio. Okay? This is a level of dumb that we're dealing with out in Toronto. A radio ad, FM transmitted fucking frequency that went into, I'm guessing, a fucking Kia Soul. And she was convinced while driving to, well, we're not going to reveal the job that she has because that's a part of the punchline right there. Actually, let's fucking shift, why don't we? But yes, first off, from the bottom of my heart, truly one of the greatest experiences I've had right now. As Sam Walker would say, this is a high watermark in terms of building a career in stand-up comedy, to be able to sell out the premier club of Alberta like that. And everybody showed up, had a great time. Our audience was wild. It's exactly what we love, you know? It's exactly what we love, bringing people together, people shitting on me, I'm shitting on them. It's just fabulous. Inside the Discord, guys were sneaking photos inside and then roasting the audience. Speaking of which, if you want to join our Discord, it's down below in the description. It's a group chat, basically, for all of you morons out there to come in, talk shit, feel free, make up a fake alias, and just talk all the jazz you want. Upcoming shows, meet up with people that, you know, are similar, like-minded, looking for parties, or just to talk shit. Just to straight up talk shit. If you want to talk shit, you want to speak freely and have a good time while doing it and have others piss on you while you piss on them. It's I mean that figuratively. And unless you're into that, then you might be able to find somebody who's also into that as well. Female, male, it don't matter. We don't care about sexuality around here anymore. It doesn't even exist. So let's get into our first article of the day, why don't we? While my lips are fucking moving. Let's get into it. All right, Toronto Life, a blog, I assume. Toronto Life, give it up for them. Why don't we give it up for them? I moved to Alberta and hated everything about it. After 3 months, I came back to Toronto. Good. My trek to Edmonton ended up being an expensive midlife crisis. Good. By Jackie Thomas, as told to Alex Sear. Okay, what do we got here? Who? Jackie Thomas, 33, director of employee training. Mississauga to Edmonton, her trajectory. Mississauga to Edmonton to Mississauga. This past summer, it seemed like everyone in the greater Toronto area was considering moving to Alberta. Taxes were lower there, the cost of living was supposedly cheaper, and some of my friends told me there were more jobs. My father, who lives in Brampton, wow, what a metropolis, ooh, kept mentioning the radio ads he heard encouraging, oh, there, okay, there it is, people to make the jump west. There were posters with similar messages plastered all over the TTC. Oh, okay, so, yes, if you were convinced by an ad on the train, huh? You were on the train. Oh, wow, okay. Boy, do I have this product for you. Sell you anything. I lived in Mississauga my entire life. After the pandemic, I needed a change. I had friends in Edmonton. I loved the few three-day work trips I'd spent there over the years. I'm single, and it sounded like there was an active dated scene. So in August, I started browsing Edmonton real estate listings online. That month, I snagged a newly built 1,600 square foot home with two master bedrooms and a large backyard 30 minutes south of the city for just $400,000. So let's just make this clear. So 30 minutes south of the city would not be Edmonton. It would be Leduc. Okay. So she did not move to Edmonton. She moved to Leduc. I left my job as a training manager for Little Caesars Canada, gave up my one-bedroom condo. So not only do you have more space, okay, more space, lower cost of living, and bought a house, gave up my rental and bought a house, right? I snagged a newly built with two master bedrooms and a large bed for just four. So she bought a house. Now she's building her equity and her and starting a life where she owns things, right? Instead of a 1600, or sorry, which what did she have? It doesn't say, it doesn't, a one bedroom condo in Toronto and moved to the suburbs of Edmonton, which is not the suburbs of Edmonton, we may add. 30 minutes south of the city. That is, I hate to break it to you. So first off, that's where we're getting off. 30 minutes south of the city is not Edmonton, okay? It is, it, and it's certainly not a fucking suburb, if you ask me. All right, my friends couldn't believe that I was leaving Toronto. I'm a major extrovert who goes out 3 to 5 nights a week. I like music, noise, and nightlife. So you're an idiot. You'll give up this fantasy life of always being in the spotlight, right? Okay. Oh no, people aren't looking at me all the time because I moved 30 minutes south of Edmonton in a suburb, own some property finally, but my life sucks because I'm not out trying to carve attention out of people. You know, people aren't looking at me. They are not giving me the attention I crave, and I hate it. I become, okay, I'm a major extrovert who goes out 3 to 5 nights per week. I like music, noise. I think I do well in Sex in the City. Okay, yeah, exactly. One of those independent ladies that, I don't need no man. I like, okay, I told them that leaving would help me build up my savings and allow me to slow down the pace of life. Besides, I hadn't had an adventure like this in years. Oh my God, yeah, just bouncing around nightclubs all week long, trying to get dick down by whatever will throw it at me. What a life, you know? Oh God, why build up a little equity? Why build up a little nest egg, a little savings pool? You know, I think I'd do well in Sex in the City. Well, that's all fantasy. You know, it was a made-up show that you like to think that you could just put yourself in that situation. I would love to live that type of life, just getting dicked down 5 nights a week while I'm the training manager for Little Caesars Canada. Not even great pizza. You know, there's like Little Caesars dukes it out with Boston Pizza, and I cannot wait to get into the Boston Pizza fucking fiasco here. Not long after I made the move, I went out on the town by myself to ask strangers where I could find a nice lounge with shisha and friendly 30-year-olds. And they replied, "What do you mean by a lounge?" That was the first red flag. Okay, well, we're not that dumb out here. You know what I mean? By a shisha, I'd imagine you said shisha lounge. And in Leduc, there's not too many shisha lounges floating. Now, if you would have went downtown Edmonton, and not the quote unquote suburbs that you thought you were in, instead, you're basically in a industrial area surrounded by housing. That's what you were living in. It was the start of a quiet, disappointing week, and nobody was out and about on the weekend either. Oh, that's because all the people go into the city for the weekend. The buzzy city energy I craved was missing. Edmonton was nothing like what I remembered from my brief visit, despite... I just can't believe this. This is what I mean. Like, how fucking dumb do you have to be? Edmonton was nothing like I remember. I went to some of the bars and hangout spots, and it sucked. This is where it started. It was as if the moment I started paying property taxes there, the dating scene had gone dormant. Most people my age were married, and they went straight home after work on weeknights. Weird. Weird that 30-year-olds... decided to calm down. You know, it's weird that at that age, a lot of people now, you're mad over the fact that not everybody wants to live this fucking life as a teenager still in their 30s. You know, I'm 32 and I don't look as like, I want to be out six nights a week. Are you out of your fucking mind? I'm good off that. I am good off that. I enjoy actually being away from people more than ever, you know, and I love attention and being on stage and telling my dumb jokes and whatnot, but like to be out five nights a week as a 32-year-old, what old did she say she was? 33, so a year older than me, and she's still trying to go out there acting as if she's a 23-year-old. Yes, the dating scene has gone dormant, you aged out dumb bitch. No, who the fuck is waltzing around looking like, oh, this independent woman over here who has all of her shit figured out, but what still wants to act like she's 23 with all the expectation. This is what drives me nuts. This is what drives me nuts. We live in this timeline where as ladies are getting older, and they're starting to realize like, oh shit, I wasted all that time in my younger years. Then they moved to somewhere where, I don't know, maybe let's use this. Okay. Most of the people my age were married and they went straight home after work on weeknights. That's because a lot of them have families. Okay. They've worked and built something. They bought property together. They have things to take care of. Their kids play sports. They find enjoyment in other things than acting like a fucking out of control 22-year-old, you know, those days are behind them. They got it out of their system. They seek deeper connections with their children, with their wives, in activities that are new and different. Instead of just going out every fucking night of the week, acting as if like my life is a movie as I'm the training director at Little Fucking Caesars Canada. Some people strive to further themselves more than just like the aged out fat 33-year-old that still's trying to like pick up whatever scrap cock is lying around at 2 a.m. You know, some women have moved on past that life. You know, I reluctantly reduced my outings to once a week, which did force me to spend time with myself and probably save me some money. But after 6 weeks, I got depressed. Oh, because you started to realize that out here, nobody was interested in you. Oh, the men were out seeking 23-year-old pussy. Instead of trying to live this life of, or instead of trying to chase down the one woman who still thinks she can compete with the young, hot, tight, fucking twat 20-year-olds. I was used to finishing work and heading straight to the Cactus Club. I wasn't meant to spend most of my evenings alone. There it is. I wasn't meant to spend most of my evenings alone. I had good men, but they weren't just like what I was looking for in that moment. I started wondering if the move had been a bad decision. Oh, this is beautiful. This is what I mean. You came out here looking for a better life. And then if you would have just opened your eyes and then realized like this land is like perfect for that big change to, you know, you came out here with expectations of people to be exactly like you and then got pissed off that the fact that, you know, most people out here are, you know, they get their time every now and then, they get away, and you know, sometimes it eats you alive a little bit to be inside that marriage, but I find a lot of people are happy out here, you know? They're married, they got their kids, they take them to their sports, and they find enjoyment in the little things rather than trying to make your life look like a fucking movie every night on your Instagram story, you know? It is a bit pathetic that, can you imagine... Let's be honest, like when you see that, it is kind of gay. It is kind of gay. Like when you look at the guys that are having like, I don't know, they're out every night, they're doing bottle service and it's like, dude, come on, give it up. Give it up. First off, the training director at Little Caesars is upset that, people aren't out 33 years old, a bunch of 33-year-olds. Aren't out dancing and shaking their twat every Tuesday at fucking salsa night. Give it a rest. At least living there made good financial sense. I thought my expenses were $2,400 per month. So I rented out a room for $900 per month in August. Then in October, my roommate left and I couldn't find anybody to replace them. The Toronto rental market never sleeps, but Edmonton dies down after the summer. I received offers for the open room at $700 a month, but I didn't think it was worth living with another person at that price. The house, this person sucks. The house was messing up my budget. Oh my God. Do you see this type, like I'm already sensing like nothing is ever this person's fault. Okay. You came out here looking for a better life. The life that you seek is like this LA lifestyle. And you thought that it was going to exist in Edmonton, Alberta, right? It gets cold as fuck here. A lot of people like to stay indoors. You know, we enjoy, I've noticed like, yeah, the Edmonton nightlife on the weekend obviously gets, hustling and bustling. It's like any fucking city in Canada, honestly. You know, how many people, obviously, I've said obviously like seven times, like in Toronto, there's clearly more people there. Okay. So that's going to open the door for more people like you are going to exist. And then you come to a smaller city with like a fucking, a tenth of the population of Toronto. And you're like, well, why aren't there more lonely 33-year-olds that just can't give up their youthful experiences in exchange for time and money? I don't know. Why is it I moved out here, bought some property, and then more people just don't want to rent my room for $900 a month when they can rent a fucking one-bedroom condo and have their own space and not have some fucking whiny bitch telling me what to do? $700 just doesn't seem like enough. You can rent a one bedroom condo out here for like $1,300, and I assume in Leduc it'd be closer to $900. And she's like, well, I don't understand. This person sucks. She's an idiot. This is what I mean. We'll get off this topic, and I just want to, yeah, you can just tell. Fat. The apartment I had left in Mississauga, which I started leasing during the pandemic lull, was now going for $2,700 a month, $950 more than... So this person just sucks. This person's just an idiot. I'm going to get off this topic right now, but I found it funny that you can sit there, whine, bitch, and complain that nobody, like... Nobody just sits back and be like, maybe it is time to, like, change a little. It's always always somebody else's fault. I moved out here and it wasn't exactly what I expected. No shit. Well, maybe come out here with an open mind thinking that, you know, that'd be like me going out to Toronto and be like, boy, why doesn't everybody like oil or fucking, oh, I can't believe nobody agrees with me politically out here. Oh, beep, boop, beep, boop. It's more expensive than Edmonton and nobody wants to rent me their one bedroom apartment for what I would normally rent for a condo. Or normally rent a townhouse in Edmonton. Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep. I work some stupid fucking shitty job for some cardboard pizza fucking company and nobody wants to help me out. Oh, I'm depressed. What a fucking... I became depressed because I sat in my apartment alone. Because you probably started to fucking realize what a loser you actually are, you know? Imagine sitting there. Once you sit there long enough, you probably started thinking to yourself, boy, oh boy, am I a fucking idiot. Let's get into the cold lake. This is good. Sexually inappropriate call sign leads to guilty verdict, reprimand for two military officers. Fighter pilots assigned the military nickname during the informal meeting in June. Canadian Armed Forces, CF Fighter 18 jet accident. Oh, we'll skip that. It's just a description. I thought it might have got into the Royal Canadian Air Force says two military officers have been handed reprimands and minor suspensions of pay for failing to enforce the military orders on preventing and addressing sexual misconduct. The charges and disciplinary actions stem from an informal meeting known as Call Sign Review Board on June 22nd at one of Canada's two main fighter jet bases, a Four Wing Cold Lake in Alberta. Former fighter pilots have described such review boards as informal meetings after major training exercises or operations in which pilots assign nicknames or call signs to newer members over drinks. Okay, here we go. The Air Force says that the meeting says that during the meeting in June, several fighters proposed and discussed and assigned an inappropriate call sign for another pilot. I read online. Okay, I had to do a little deep. It was "fucked her gay" was the call sign. "Fucked her gay" was the call sign for one of the pilots, and they're upsetty spaghetti about it. You know what? If anything, they should be celebrating that in the Canadian military, even the Air Force here. No, we don't want that. Get out of here. You know, we come across these moments where you got to look yourself in the mirror. It's a very... It's the fork in the road, the decision-making, right? On one hand, you're like, fucked or gay. Okay, so that means that's almost, could that be in a positive way? Could we have pushed more women to be more LGBTQ friendly by fucking or gay? And that's the call sign for it. And we're trying to be more progressive in that manner. You know, if I'm that horrible at sex and I push this woman to the point where she's like, I might as well lick pussy rather than ride some fucking mediocre cock for the rest of my life. I'd rather a rubber one, a good old hard rubber one right up the fucking hoop. And now we're getting mad. You know, we're trying. We as dudes, we don't understand the progressive nature that exists inside some of these souls. So when we come together collectively and we're trying to come up with new ways that we can put our hat into the ring, you know, and try to become a greater human, a better human. When we do it, when we, the regular straight, white, whatever identity you want to paint us with, it's not even just white. It could be black, Asian. It could be anything. How about this? Just straight dudes, some SDs, right? Some SDs start floating around and they're dishing out some mediocre dicks. So we're pushing more women over into becoming a dyke. That should be celebrated. I'm just saying, You know, before it used to be probably a pretty small pool of lesbians that you could date inside, you know, that would exist with one another. And now because of incels and just dudes that are just looking to bust nuts and that's about it, we've now pushed a few more women to be like even openly bisexual just to kind of play both teams, you know. They're like, you know, when you see those jerseys every now and then that like somebody that would live in like Red Deer or you're between towns of like two major teams, like maybe it's like, you know, you're a huge Yankees and Mets fan, so you would cut the jersey. And then you have the Yankees and the Mets when they play one another because you're like, hey, I don't know who to cheer for. That's kind of like that, hey? Is like those jerseys that split themselves. And it's like unfair because it's like, ah, fuck. When you see like a half an Oiler with half a Flames jersey and you're like, fuck, what the fuck is this? You know, you don't know whether you should be mad or just be like, ah, you know what? They're cheering for both teams. They're playing for both teams. No matter what, they're not wrong, right? So they can just jump back and forth. Well, actually, it's kind of defeating in a way. And I get mixed emotions when I see that imagery, right? And that's kind of like bisexual to me. It's just you're able to just pull shoot on any gender issues. Especially like this one right here. It was an inappropriate. I fucked her gay. Fucked her gay was the call sign. Mark is being deprived of 8 days of pay after his guilty verdict at a summary hearing. And Lieutenant Colonel Corey Mask is losing 5 days of pay. Oh, boy. And it's not like the military pays from what I've heard, okay? I don't know the exact pay, but I assume that it hurt the wallet, would it not? The Air Force says in a statement that the decisions did not mark the end of the matter as a broader cultural shift is underway. No shit. Half these fucking guys, you know what you have to do is like take these like gender equality courses before what, I don't know if it's before or after you're in the military, but even currently there's like these stupid, it's like those H2S courses you go to every 3 years, you know, it's just like, Jesus Christ. How many times the instructors just, the only thing that's changed in those courses is just the instructors gotten fatter. You know, you go to your first aid course and you look at this fucking pig that's sitting up front and you think to yourself, like, how is it possible that you're still alive? You know, you're over here trying to teach us about first aid and you look like you're about to fall over at any moment from a heart attack, you know? Just a pig up there and still takes the course as serious as he did the first or third or fourth time that you came around. And somehow this prick still just like ekes through, just squeaks by, squeaks past a heart attack, cardiac arrest, whatever it may be, a stroke, fuck, who knows, but it's knocking on the door constantly. And he's up here trying to teach you how to be safe out there. But meanwhile, can't even safely ingest the correct diet. God almighty, it's defeating, isn't it? The culture, a broader cultural shift is underway. Yeah, that's why there's a mass exodus from the Canadian Armed Forces. I can't imagine, you know, I can't imagine that you want to sit there and learn about hey, listen, you know what? Before we head on over to Ukraine or go fight in Afghanistan or whatever UN mission that we're signed up for next, you know what we need to do is like before we head over there and, you know, even though our ideologies don't match up to whatever country that we're heading to, we better make sure that before we put our boots on the ground and have AK-47 bullets whiz past our ears and avoiding landmines that are placed all across the fucking countryside that we have to sweep and find the bad guys. You know what we need to do? You know what we need to do is ensure that inside our heads that we understand trans rights before we head on over there. You know, before we go and possibly put our lives on the line, maybe lose it, maybe even get injured and come back and ask just for a little bit of help so I can exist in Canada as an injured veteran and I'm told to go fuck myself. I better have inside my head the correct way of thinking when it comes to any gender equality or whatever new gender is invented that day. I better have that in my head stored, just ready right there. So when I go to ask, excuse me, I just need a wheelchair ramp to get into my house, you know? And they're like, listen, have you heard of maids? Have you heard of assisted suicide? We simply just don't have enough to give. Plus, you failed. you failed the gender equality program assistance, progressive, whatever it'll have like some 18 letter acronym that will describe the course. You didn't pass it the first go around. So it took you three times to pass that. So you kind of got lowered on the list. And that's why we're actually asking you and encouraging you to kill yourself, but not you kill yourself. Allow the government. Then we get the satisfaction of killing you and harvesting your organs. So not only did you give your life to this country is going to take your life with their cold, dark, hanging hand. It's crazy. Isn't that something? I wanted to just get that out there. 5 days pay. Lost 5 days pay. Isn't that something? That you get suspended for work now for offensive gestures. Imagine that. Imagine sitting on a pipeline and being like, hey, Greg, I heard you suck dick last night. Just a throwaway comment to make fun of one of your coworkers and they bring it. We're going to have to suspend you for 5 days without pay because you made a derogatory comment. This is how bad it's getting. Isn't it disgusting? You just can't say jack shit anymore. They've taken, they're slowly taking away any sort of expression. In the most like, oh, we want you to express yourself as best as possible. In a country that promotes that and wants, you know, this inclusivity and all that, they want to strip all that away. They don't want that existing. That's bad. Bad words hurt feelings, and hurt feelings, you know what hurt feelings do? Well, we're going to have to come down the pipeline and start asking some guys on whether or not they want to fucking, you know, get the jab. And when we say the jab, we are not talking about COVID-19. It's the sleepy forever jab. We want to take you out. Time for a little ad read. DangerCatchShop.com for all your dates and merch needs. That's right. If you head there, all of our ticket dates are now available that were mentioned at the beginning of the episode, and you can purchase tickets today. We highly recommend getting tickets prior because there seems to be a demand, and we've been selling out venues, and that's a humble brag, but also a forewarning. Because once it sells out, I can do sweet fuck all to help you get in the venue. Shows have been selling out fucking crazy fast. It's and if you want to come to one, be sure to get your tickets beforehand. And yes, for merch as well, head to DangerCatchShop.com. You can get some fine products right off of there. For merch, use the code PODCAST69 for 15% off your merchandise order. Patreon.com/DangerCats69. If you want to support this podcast and get extra episodes as well, head to patreon.com/DangerCat69. There's an extra episode waiting for you right now. As you're listening to this one, there is another hour of content waiting for you in video and audio format. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that beautiful? Aren't we just trying to suck every dollar out of your wallet? That's correct. That's what capitalism is. And I don't know if I'm good at it or not. But if you want to support the show and support what we're doing and you love this podcast and want an extra hour of it, head to patreon.com/DangerCat69. All older episodes are on there as well as all volumes of roast battles are there for your viewing pleasure. Anyways, back to the episode. It's actually it's deeply disturbing that words now are to the point where words and gestures destroy us more than ever, you know. But meanwhile, there's people out there. There's just like wars and matters that are more important than this fucking thoughts and prayers bullshit that we love to fucking pretend is, oh, yeah. You know, you come across that, oh, well, yeah, well, what about the, there's always somebody that you make some sort of stupid fucking joke. Like for instance, I just pointed out in a video, like, hey, if you go downtown, you might get stabbed by a homeless fucking fentanyl addict. And then there's always some fucking white knight just existing in the background that doesn't do jack shit to help these people to get on their feet. And I'm not saying that I do. I don't. I point it out. I'm just here to talk some shit. And there's always that white knight always, well, yeah, you must feel real big making fun of fucking homeless people. Well, I'll tell you one thing for free. If making fun of homeless people is going to sell some tickets, I'll fucking make fun of anybody to sell some goddamn tickets. You've been listening to this show long enough to understand that, you know, Uncle Hack may see some wild shit at time to time, but at the end of the day, it's all about the ticket sales. You know what I mean? That's why I'm going full capitalist for the next 3 years. And if I can possibly retire by, save up some bank to the point where I could maybe think about, you know, the Freedom 35, Then that's it. Then that's it. Then I'll go back to fucking just being a mute, being quiet, being obedient. You know, I'll get vaccines. I'll go to rallies that I shouldn't be at. I'll go to Storytime Drag Hour at a Boston Pizza. I'll go, which we're going to fucking bring up the video right now. You know, okay. All right, so this is from the Twitter account, The Pleb. Great. The account is at Truck Driver Pleb on Twitter, and he tweets out this. You walk into a Boston Pizza to have a nice meal with your wholesome family, and this is what greets you. What is your reaction? And it's from a video from Karima Sad. I don't know how to say her name. I don't. I've seen her around, but not sure why that's not. Oh, fuck, that's why. Plug this in. Oh, what a meltdown. You're listening to it live on the podcast. You know, some people just deserve a bullet in their head, and I'm one of them. This is great. Beginning of the video. Okay, so I'll describe this to the listeners. So what it looks like is a Boston pizza waitress put on a New Year's Eve gown with feather, and then has like a cloak of what looks to be like peacock feathers and sequins all over it. And we got a, I don't know where this is taking place, but it's clearly on a Sunday as football is playing up in the corner. We got a family of four here. Soaking all this in. Meanwhile, some people say that this is a drag queen, but I beg to differ. This just looks like a regular run-of-the-mill Boston Pizza waitress right here, that is wearing her New Year's Eve gown from last year while singing I Will Survive to a crowd to a sold-out show of 18 people on the restaurant side of Boston Pizza. No, not even the lounge. Okay, we're on the restaurant side of Boston Pizza. For those that live in a small town, you now you understand that there is a lounge, which you know, like that fucking idiot earlier from Toronto. Why don't you just go to a Boston Pizza lounge? There's lounges all over. It's right there on the front. It says it on the fucking sign: restaurant and lounge. But on the restaurant side of Boston Pizza, one of the waitresses from the bar side, I'm guessing, you know, is still partying from the night before. There was a garage party. You know, those happen after she shut down the late night shift. One of the boys that was hanging out in there was like, hey, we're having drinks in the garage later. And she's like, okay, is it a party or is it just a party? And then it's like, no, it's a party. We're going to have a good time tonight. So this Boston Pizza waitress went home, changed, got into her nice gown, and was still drinking into the next day, right? And this happens in small towns from time to time. You know, you let one slip away. Next thing you know, it's 11 a.m. on Sunday, and you're heading down, and you're like, I'm going to give these people a show. I am going to give these people a show while they eat their reheated chicken tenders, you know, and this garbage pizza that's lower than Little Caesars. Now let's watch the video. The one kid looks mortified, okay? He's mortified because this is his aunt, actually. And he's like, Jesus Christ, I've seen this way too many times at birthday. She does this every year, you know? A lot of people do think that this is a drag queen that I am talking about right here. But what they don't understand is, like, if you've been to a Boston Pizza, you would be confused on whether or not this is a drag queen or just one of the waitresses that came in hammered to their early morning shift. You know, they worked a late shift that night, the night prior. And then the next day they had to come in and they had to open. They closed, then opened, and got caught up in a good old classic garage party, right? And then... Here, they were like, well, I'll just wear what I wore last night over to the nice party that was taking place. You know, it was an early Christmas party over at Jeff's garage where they set up the Rubbermaid tables and had a little potluck. You know, everybody brought a little item over and they were having a little potluck and doing karaoke in a double car garage over at Jeff's place. And I wore something fancy because that's what you do in small towns, you know. Nothing greater than going to a shop party and you wear your nicest gown, right? With those oil stains on the fucking garage. You got chainsaws hanging on the wall with all the garden tools too. And all you do is just like, you go to the dollar store and you get a few decorations, put it up on the wall. And it's like, none of all that other shit exists. None of it exists. And I'm not shitting on this. Now, keep in mind, I'm from a small town, so this sounds like I'm shitting on it. No, I'm praising it. I love those types of people. You know, nothing soothes my heart like anybody out there that decides that they want to turn their fucking garage into, you know, a Las Vegas nightclub with a disco ball and a karaoke machine. Those are the types of people that I really enjoy. And right here is what we have is, you know, this kid is mortified because he can't tell whether that is that a guy or Aunt Linda. Is Aunt Linda still drunk from that party that she went to last night? Or am I looking at a guy that's just walking around? She loves to do this at all the family events, gets two bottles of wine in her and then starts playing tracks from the 70s and 80s and doing her own little rendition of it, singing to the family at 10 p.m., you know? Christmas dinner is usually followed by CCR's greatest hits and Aunt Linda dancing on a coffee table with her panties fucking hanging out, you know, wearing a short dress to a family dinner. That's the type of person. But we're all confused. Anyways, onward. The kid is fucking hilarious. Where is it? This kid's, the look on this kid, he is dead center forward. He's like, I am not taking even a gander at that. I am looking fucking square into mom's eyes. I don't believe what you brought me to. What the fuck is this? It's so funny that they're like, we want to have drag story time for the kids. And then this kid is just like, can we stop? Can this stop? We don't want this. We as children, we don't want this. We don't want these lunatics running around thinking that this is... We don't even want story time. Just let me play my fucking iPad and leave me alone. It's so funny. And the parents are like, yeah, it's like forcing your kid to go to T-ball. You know, like those parents that are always trying to force their kids to do sports that they hate. And they're like, no, it's good for them. And meanwhile, you can just like, you look at the kid and you're like, nah, he's more into like fucking Yu-Gi-Oh! You can look at the kid. He's like, he has no interest in playing any of these sports. He wants to go play Yu-Gi-Oh! Online with his friend. And it's like forcing those kids. It's like the same type of scenario, right? This kid is like, I don't want to be at a fucking drag bra. Look at this fucking shit. I don't give a fuck about karaoke. You know what karaoke is for? People that'll never get a record deal that love to drink too much and they hang and then like just understand that life is going nowhere but this hotel karaoke bar every Friday, Saturday night where I can sing the two great songs that I can get relatively close to the notes that the actual artist hits and the rest of the drunks in there just cheer and sing along. Oh yeah, karaoke crowds are like, they're like furries of the singing world. They're weird. Anyways, onward. Oh, let's read the shirt. Okay, there's like two groups of people in here. The restaurant is empty as fuck. There's six people there for the show on the restaurant side of a Boston Pizza that are like, yep, this is exactly what we can. Well, it's an all ages show that we're going to do fucking care. All it is like all these drag shows are is just karaoke with extra steps. That's all. Okay. What is promoting love and acceptance of the LGBTQ plus community. One hug at a time. Holy fuck. This is great. This is so fucking funny. There's 10 people in here and one family of four that look like they just got done hockey practice. And they're like, for fuck's sakes, this is why I hate this fucking restaurant. The food sucks. The entertainment blows even harder. Pun intended. Oh my God. All right, is that in? That is the best. The family that looks like they just got ambushed by this shit and they're like, they didn't see the poster on the front door to be like, hey, just so you know, it's drag queen hour on NFL Sunday. We're going to have drag queens sing while Tom Brady throws touchdown passes in the background. How does that sound? Are we for it or against it? Just kidding. We don't care. Aunt Linda's got a bottle of wine in her and she wants to sing a couple songs too. Good thing there isn't a coffee table here because she'd be on it. Let's just say that. A round of applause to Aunt Linda. But this is the funny part. What's your reaction is what he asked. And that's what I wanted. My first reaction would be like, oh, my family's here. If I walked in and I seen that, oh, my family's here. Ah, yes. Grandma told Auntie that if she pulls any of that shit that she does every family fucking dinner of like trying to perform to everybody while we're trying to have a nice conversation and it's an all eyes on me, didn't have a career in entertainment, didn't even attempt a career in entertainment, but just loves attention, not very good at curating it in her direction. So it's always like family events and it takes about two bottles of wine to loosen up and maybe a few shots of vodka and next thing you know, two cigarettes later, Aunt Linda's on the fucking table wanting to sing the hits of the 80s, you know, relive her childhood past of like going to the nightclub in town that would actually pack up. That's my first reaction. And then my second reaction was like, oh, this is at a Boston Pizza. Oh, Jesus Christ. That's all that is a Boston Pizza waitress. It took me a minute to even understand that this was a drag hour. You know, I thought that it was just the lounge side waitresses were drinking the night before came in. And then they were like, oh, fuck, I'm still hammered. But you know what? Let's give them a show. Let's give them a show. I got a few songs left in me before I pass out behind the cardboard box dumpster, the recycling bin dumpster in the back, and have a little nap in the car and like just violently puke my brains out for the rest of the evening. That's what's on my menu today. I don't know about you guys, but that's what's happening in my world. My God. Fuck, do I hate Boston Pizza. Everything about it, top to bottom, I fucking cannot stand that goddamn place. But guess what? Guess what time it is? It is time for the greatest segment in podcast history, Hate Mail. That's right. You email me. Don't DM me. Quit DMing me. I don't read those. But hate mail. You email me. UncleHack@DangerCats.tv with the subject line hate mail. You email me that. Whatever hate mail you have stored up. It could be anything. You want to talk about your ex-girlfriend, your current girlfriend, the situation at home. You got something that you completely despise and you're sick and tired of seeing in public. It could be me. You fucking hate me? That's fine. Email it. I'll read it. I don't care. That's what we do around here. Because the censoring of actions, speech, is more frequent than ever. And I don't want that. In fact, I'll let you anonymously email me on this show. Isn't that nice of me? That's right. UncleHack@DangerCats.tv. Subject line, hate mail. That's the email. If you don't know what it is, just look in the description down below. You can email me whatever you want. I don't care. You can talk about me. Like I said, you can hate on me, your job, your ex, your vehicle, a store that you frequent and you can't quite say anything because maybe there's a relation there of some sort. You might ruin a relationship and they're completely anonymous on this show. You email me and it's word for word. I will read it out. Okay, let's start with our first one. Hack, usually love listening to your show, but episode 2 weeks ago, what the fuck? Started out good, harping on Lil Trudy. Then it was like you put a tampon in your dick and went all gay on us. What the fuck? Are you sucking the dude's dick that lost his mojo for? He's 34, for Christ's sake. He needs to grow some balls and start being a man. Instead, you go all Dr. Phil and turn into relationship advice session. Should have harped on his ass. To the dude who lost his mojo, if you can't get any tail from Tinder or Bumble, maybe you should change something about yourself, or maybe just you're just as ugly as a circumcised cock. Whoa. Hack. Maybe that shot is getting to your brain. Maybe you just need a couple more nose beers to clear it up. Anyways, take the tampon out of your dick. We want the hack back. Yours truly, Eaton Beaver. That's what I'm talking about. See, when I say that I'll read anything on this show, I will literally read anything on this show. You send it, I'll say it. You know, that's how we do it around here, my dogs. We don't fuck around like that. In fact, I enjoy the honesty of the fan base that this podcast is starting to collect. Now, our second piece of hate mail for the day, and then we're closing out the show. Here we go. I have a bone to pick with the fucking audience members at the Danger Rooms. If you're going to heckle the entire time and then bitch and complain you're getting kicked out and saying so much for freedom of speech here, don't go to any more shows if you're going to be such a cuntbag. Oh, quick and easy to the point sometimes. That's right. One guy got kicked out this weekend, and as he was leaving, like heckling is one thing. Like, we encourage heckling at our shows, but if it's got to add to the show, you know what I mean? Like, it is, people did pay money to come in there and listen to jokes and wild shit. And if you're heckling and it's fun and we're having a good banter back and forth or just a great exchange to make the show even better, it's great. But if you're just sitting in the back thinking that you're a fucking funny guy like you are in the work truck, like, you know, these types of people, they're like Aunt Linda on the coffee table at Christmas dinner. They just need the center of attention on them, and they just realize that, and then they don't have self-awareness to understand that they aren't funny. They aren't adding to the show. They're taken away, and they just don't shut the fuck up. And they're like, it's always like the generic, stupid fucking blue collar roast. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, oh yeah, you're saltier than a fag on Sunday, or whatever those ones are. Those fucking, I can't think of any of off the top of my head, but those, you know, it's just like, oh yeah, sick burn. Where did you read that one? Oh fuck. Haven't heard that before. You know, like that type of shit. And then then it was funny to be like, oh, so much for freedom of speech. Well, it's not so much that, first off, if you came to the show, you would understand that we are very for freedom of speech with the things that we say and the things that we do on stage. We push the limits further than any comedy trio, In fact, I would almost say any comedians here in Canada. So freedom of speech, that's a horrible fucking stance to take while being just an asshole in a show and ruining the show for, you know, 285, or I guess it would have been 280 other people who came there to laugh and have a good time. Then you're just being a fucking retard. But I do appreciate that you're trying. I will give you that. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt that you're trying to add to the show, but you were taking away and just being a dumbass. And Brett, he's the hair trigger, man. You start giving it to him while he's trying to perform, booted, out, gone. Me, I don't know. I like fucking around up there. I like having a good time. So it is what it is. But there you have it. Another episode of the Danger Cats podcast, or Danger Cat, the Uncle Hack podcast. Danger Cats podcast hasn't existed in a hot minute, but anyways, thank you for tuning in, and remember, you can have an extra episode on the Patreon, patreon.com/dangercat69. Roast battles coming up here shortly, January 20th, and all the existing volumes are on our Patreon right now, so be sure to check that out. It's a great way to support the show, support what we're doing, or come out to live shows. And check us out, dangercatshop.com, for all ticket dates, or for all tickets and dates available right now. If you would like us to come out to where you're at, be sure to email me, unclehack@dangercats.tv, and we can see if we can set up a venue out in your location. Anyways, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Uncle Hack podcast. And here is a nice little list of all the lovely Danger Dong Patreon producers, if you're watching on YouTube. If not, thank you to all those below who are Danger Dong Patreon producers. We appreciate you, and thank you for supporting the show.